Turning tonight, please, to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 16. And we want to break into the chapter the words of verse 9. If we were a church that used any perversion of the Scriptures, or if you had an NIV in your hand tonight, you would see it after the verse 8. A little footnote telling you that the rest of the words of this chapter, well, really telling you they may not be part of God's Word. And they put a question mark over these verses. And yet, we're going to read of some of the truths that are found within these verses. It's every bit a part of God's Word. The modernist doesn't like these verses. There is no difference where the authorized version and its translators were concerned. Let's read from verse 9, Mark chapter 16. And when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. She went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. They went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was arisen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen and amen. We trust and we know the Lord will add his own divine blessing for the reading of his infallible an inspired word this evening. Let's seek the Lord's face in a word of prayer as we come to the preaching of His Word. Our Father, we thank Thee that many can sing Hallelujah, what a Savior. Full atonement cannot be. O God, we thank Thee that Christ has paid it all. All to Him we owe. Sin had left its crimson stain. Bless God, He washed it white as snow. And yet, Lord, we're conscious that there are those, and Lord, they may sing the words of the hymn, but Lord, it is but a melody from the mouth and not the heart. O God, speak, Lord, to those that are still not saved, who do not know the Savior personally as Lord and as King. Lord, we pray tonight that we would know the Lord working with us and confirming the Word with signs following. We thank the Lord, that's what we read in this chapter. And, O God, we're conscious tonight that Thou art the same Christ. Thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, O God, we thank Thee, Thy power is still the same. We pray, Lord, that that power will be unleashed even in this meeting this night. But know Thy Holy Spirit moving from heart to heart in old time conviction of sin. Let us end, I pray, you'd fill us with the power of thy Spirit. That, O God, you'd help me tonight to preach. As thus and thus saith the Lord. Give us, Lord, those words which must and shall prevail. Give us the prevailing words. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 16. The last words of anyone leaving are very important. And they're very often cherished. That may be a dear loved one that is lying upon a deathbed who is speaking their final words to their family. Or it may be the last words of one who is going on a long journey. Every word that they say, and especially the parting word, will be held on to for many a day. But yet none are more important. And the words of the Savior that are before us in this passage of Mark chapter 16. For within these verses are found His parting words to His church. The words of verse 15 are often referred to as the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In every corner of this world, man is no different. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. From whatever color, or class, or creed, man is in need of God's salvation. But how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? That was the great task of the disciples. And it remains to be the great task for the Church of Jesus Christ to this day, and it shall be until time shall be no more. The disciples were to go forth. They were to deliver the message of the gospel. Oh, those 11 men could not themselves preach to all the world, never mind to every creature in it. But they and other disciples, 70 in number, with those who should afterwards be added to them, they were to be dispersed, and sometimes it was through persecution. And they were to go forth, and wherever they went, they carried the gospel with them. They were to make it the business of their lives to send forth those glad tidings up and down the world, with all possible care to those that would hear them. And they brought that message, not a message that was of an amusement, not a message that was of entertainment, but it was a message, a solemn message from God to man. And that message, men and women, has reached these shores. And that message, I pray, and by the grace of God, would reach your heart tonight in this meeting. But I wonder, what will your response be to it? Will it be the believing and being saved? Or will your response be to remain as you are and be damned? For that is what I read in the words of verse 16 of Mark chapter 16. The latter words are those which I want to concentrate upon this night. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Here's a message about the unbeliever. That's it. The unbeliever. I want you to notice, first of all, the message that is preached to the unbeliever. That which stares us in the face is the question, what is it that is not believed? He that believeth not shall be damned. You know, that thrusts us back to what the Lord commanded His disciples to do in the verse previous. Were they to go forth and to entertain people? Were they to go forth and cause people to be happy with their circumstances socially? For that is the sum and that is the substance of much of what is passed for gospel preaching in this day and generation. No, they were to go forth and they were to preach the gospel.
For it is the power, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that will believe. And it is the power of God unto salvation.
Can I remind you of what the Apostle Paul said in the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17? He said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Now, he was not underestimating one of the ordinances that the churches, that the Lord has left to His church, the other being that we are to remember His death around His table. But what he was saying to these believers in the church of Corinth, he was reminding them that the fact that administering baptism is not the be-all and the end-all. And that was not what God had saved them for. That was not what God had sent them to do. And so therefore there was no reason why those believers should have divisions among them on the issue of baptism. No, he reminds them that his calling from the Lord was to be sent forth and to preach the gospel. And straightway we read after his conversion, straightway he went out and he preached Christ. The command of the Lord was for his people to go forth and evangelize the world. To preach the good news of God's salvation to every creature. I'm going to bring it right down to the very basics now. What is the message that all need to hear? What is that message? What is that message? And that in many cases is not believed. It is the fact that man, whoever he is, and from wherever he comes from, is a lost and a dying soul, a sinner who is perishing in their sin. Everyone born of Adam's fallen race have fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 5 verse 12 reminds us, "For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The heart of man is desperately wicked. He is alienated from his Creator and from his God because of his sin. And not only we have got to take up the Word of God and throughout its pages after the fall in the Garden of Eden, man is seen to be a sinner who is perishing, who is dying physically, who is dying spiritually, who is dying eternally. And that is the message that every soul needs to hear. From wherever you are tonight, if you're not saved, you are a sinner who is perishing in your sin. And you need to hear that, you who are sitting under the word of the gospel again in this meeting place. But thank God the message of the gospel doesn't stop there. The message of the good news of the gospel is also one of revealing the Savior who is the only remedy for your sin. And I remind you who that Savior is. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who left the realms of glory behind to take upon Himself the form of man, yet without sin, and in obedience to the work that the Father had given Him to do. He was to go and to lay down His life on the cross of Calvary so that the penalty of sin could be exacted. And there on that old rugged tree, He who knew no sin, He who was the sinless and spotless Lamb of God, yet He became sin that He might bring us to God and we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. He was to take upon Himself our sins. He was to bear them away as the sinner's substitute in His own body, and by the shedding of His precious blood, He was to procure salvation for a lost and a dying people who were afar off from God. Dear soul, although He died, yet He arose again. And these very verses in Mark chapter 16 speak of the risen Lord. The very verses which the modernist loves to cast a doubt over.
The very verses which the perversion of the Scripture suggests that after verse 8, they should not be part of the Word of God. Look at the words of verse 9. Now, when Jesus was risen, He's a risen Lord.
Ah, yes, He died unto sin once, but He liveth again.
And these verses reveal to us that the Christ had died. He also arose from the dead. He had conquered death. He had destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil.
And not only that, but they also reveal to us that He is now the exalted Lord. For having delivered this message and these words to His disciples, verse 19, you'll see it, He was to ascend up into heaven and to sit down at the right hand of God. Tell me, is that not a message worth hearing?
Is the gospel, which is a message of what Christ has done for an undeserving people, is it not a message of victory? Is it not a message of hope to them who have no hope in this world? Without Christ, they'll have no hope in the world that is to come.
The message that is to be believed and received is of the Savior who lived, is a Savior who died, a Savior who rose again according to the Scriptures, who ascended back to the Father's throne, and who is coming one day again, and He did it all for an undeserving people. What a message. But the message doesn't even stop there. But the message that is preached and is to be believed is one which the sinner needs to receive by faith. There is one thing needful, and this is it. For a person may be a churchgoer, and a person may even be baptized, and a person may be engaging themselves in good works and being a good neighbor, but if they have not received Christ by the gift of faith, these other things will prove no benefit to them.
They'll profit them nothing. But they must receive Christ by the gift of faith. And that person, if you haven't received Christ as Lord and Savior tonight, you are still that lost soul. You are still that unbeliever.
It is not enough that there is an intellectual knowledge of the gospel. This country is full of that. But there needs to be the heart experience whereby the sinner feels the weight of the heinousness of their sin. And yet God's Spirit has showed them that it is the Lord Jesus Christ to whom they must flee to and to whom they must lay hold upon for eternal life. For I tell you, there is life in no other. I tell you tonight, there is salvation in no other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
That is the message of the gospel. That is the message of the gospel that is preached to your heart this evening. And I tell you the good news, you can have the gift of faith tonight. And you can receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're in the right place. But that's the message which is preached to the unbeliever, and the unbeliever doesn't receive it. Let me show you, secondly, the guilt that the unbeliever possesses. Even though the message of the gospel is preached in all its fullness, and yes, we can see that there are many places that is not the case, and people are given to listening to fables. And they love to have it so. Even though people have been favored with hearing the fullness of the gospel message, which is able to save their soul, yet there are those, and they will not believe.
That has been their response to the preaching of Christ. That has been your response in this house as the gospel has been preached to you. And John reminds us that he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. They're already condemned. Already the wrath of God hangs over the unbeliever. You stand guilty before God. What is your guilt tonight? Your guilt is one of rejecting the Christ of God. And that is what you're about this evening. If you will not yield to the pleadings of God's Holy Spirit, and if you will not take heed to the warnings of the gospel then preached, you are in the business of rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, and the one who is described as the altogether lovely one. It is not the church whom you reject. It is not even the preacher who is but the messenger and mouthpiece of God whom you reject. But you reject tonight the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave His all on that cross, that you might go gloriously free and be saved from your sin. You stand guilty tonight rejecting Him. You reject the person of Christ who is the only Redeemer of God's elect. You reject the only way to God's heaven and eternal life. He said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You might as well cry out, we will not have this man to rule over us. Oh, the guilt that is yours tonight, unbeliever, for rejecting, listen to me, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your guilt. And can I take that a step further? For we can also say that your guilt is one of despising the sacrifice that He offered upon the cross. I would that you would listen to the words of Hebrews chapter 10 and the words of verse 26. It says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Despise what Christ has accomplished on the cross through the offering up of Himself as a sacrifice for sin. Tread underfoot the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Count it as an unholy thing tonight. Despise this once for all sacrifice for sins. And there remaineth no more salvation. No more. You who have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. You cannot be neutral on the hearing of the gospel when preached. You see, maybe it is of your heart and of your mind that you can come into the house of God Sunday night or Sunday morning by Sunday morning, Sunday night by Sunday night. You can sit under the message of the gospel. You can go out home rejecting Christ and it doesn't make a button of difference. I want to tell you tonight, you can't be neutral. It is either the preaching of the gospel, it is either foolishness to you as an unbeliever, or else it will become the power of God unto your salvation. And so, dear soul, I want you to recognize that every time that you hear the gospel preached to your soul and your heart, and yet you reject the offer of God's mercy, you are but heaping guilt upon your soul unto the day of judgment. You can't be neutral. And I want to show you how that is the case. For is that not what the Lord was to teach concerning those who had been blessed with His preaching and who had seen many mighty works done? Let me turn you over to Matthew chapter 11 and the words of verse 20. It says, "Then began He to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done." Why? Because they repented not. Here were people who were found in cities where they'd seen the work of God at first hand, and yet they hadn't repented. They remained unbelievers. And they remained unbelieving. Let's look at one or two of them. Verse 21, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." And if you take time to look at Mark chapter 8, you will realize that Bethsaida was not only the city where Philip and Andrew and Peter came from, but it was the place where the blind men, they received their sight. And the people of that city, they had saw the mighty works of Christ, and yet they repented not. Oh yes, they had saw the blind man receiving his sight, and yet they had still not looked to Christ to be saved. They were still blind in their sin. Still unbelieving. Let's look at verse 23. "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day." Mark chapter 1 verse 21 reminds us that Christ, He went into the place, He went into Capernaum. What did He do? He preached in the synagogues. For He said He heard the prince of preachers. They heard the prince of life. He even witnessed the man with the unclean spirit cast out of him, and yet they would not receive by faith the Lamb of God. They would not receive His word by faith, and they were still unclean in their sin. And you know what the Lord said? They were heaping guilt upon themselves unto the day of judgment. For the Lord said of them, it would be more tolerable. Now get a hold of this. It would be more tolerable for the land of Sodom than it would be for these on the day of judgment. Now you and I know all about the sin of Sodom. And you know the wickedness that was found in those cities and that land. And yet God says, and the incarnate Christ said, it'll be more tolerable for them than it will be for you, because you saw My mighty works and you heard Me preach. What about you? What about you who are still unbelieving in this meeting? Oh, the guilt. I want to take your guilt a step further. For your guilt is that you love your sin more than you desire to have Christ and be saved. Now we're getting down to nuts and bolts now. Come with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In the words of verse 12. They simply read that they all might be damned. Same word that is found in our text. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The unbeliever is one who does not want to embrace the truth of God. And the hindrance is their love for sin and their pleasure in unrighteousness. What sin are you
clinging on to this evening? What sin are you taking pleasure in that you will not have Christ as your Savior? What sin is worth bartering your soul's salvation away for tonight?
Make no mistake about it, that is what the unbeliever is getting at. And thus the Lord could say of you, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. You love your sin so much, and you want to hold on. What sin? I don't know what sin. You know. Models. Oh, that you would have the eyes salve poured in. Tonight you would see the beauty of Christ. You behold Him who is still the mighty to see you. You see, for praise His name, we bring before you a Savior who is merciful and a Savior who is long-suffering. For even one who has been guilty of rejecting Christ in meetings such as this, and even one who has been guilty of trampling on their feet the precious blood of Christ, and have despised His sacrifice for sin on the cross, and even that soul that instead of coming to Christ is in love with their sin, thank God He is able to forgive them. He is able to pardon them freely if you will but repent. And that can only speak of a merciful and a gracious and a long-suffering God. And He is saying to you tonight, if you'll come, your sins I will remember no more. But you have guilt. You still remain as an unbeliever. You see the message that is preached to the unbeliever. You see the guilt that is possessed. Let me show you finally the judgment that is pronounced. Look at my text. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And the soul that remains a Christ rejecter, they shall be judged by God. And that damnation shall consist of being cast off from the presence of God. You know, there are those boys running about this country and they're foolish enough to think that this is hell. And because circumstances are not going well and because they've gone through some sticky patch, they think this is hell. What a fool. Eternity in hell will be an eternity away from the presence of God. In that place where God has forgotten to be merciful. And the apostle was to speak of that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In the words of verse 7, he said unto you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Do you know the Lord tonight? Do you know the Lord in the heart tonight? And on them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you heard the message? Yes, you've heard it. Have you obeyed it? If you haven't, here are verses concerning you. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Hell will be a place where the presence of God will not be known, but the presence of God is still known in this sin-cursed earth. We're still living in the day of God's grace, and their souls are still getting saved. But in hell there will be a great gulf fixed between, and it will be the place where God will not be worshipped, where sin will be eternally. That damnation which is spoken of in this verse will mean being condemned by a just and a holy God at the bar of judgment. The psalmist, in opening his book of Psalms in Psalm 1, he reminds us that the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. He reminds us that the way of the ungodly shall perish. It will not be like as it is tonight. Or there are those who are unbelievers and you're sitting beside maybe a child of God. But at the judgment it will not be like that. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. And will come to pass that day in which the hidden things of darkness shall be brought to light. And the counsels of the heart will be made manifest. And the unbeliever will hear those damning words that are found in Matthew 25 and 41, where God will say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." For recognize, dear soul, tonight, as the last book of the Revelation reminds us, that in no way shall there enter into it anything that defileth. There'll be no sin in heaven. And if you are to be in God's heaven, then your sin needs to be dealt with. And if you are to be in God's heaven when you stand before God, then you will need on that great day of judgment an advocate for the Father. One there to stand up and to plead your cause. But for the unbeliever, your damnation is sealed. For that advocate for the Father is Jesus Christ. The very one who was preached unto your soul while you were in this earth and while you sat in gospel meetings like this. The very one who was revealed to your heart as the only Savior and the only door into heaven and the only way to heaven. But alas, the very one whom you spent meeting after meeting rejecting. And the one whom you would not receive by faith to be saved. And you'll stand before God as judge. And you'll have no advocate to stand up for you and to say, "He's mine. His sin I have paid for." But you'll hear those words depart on you. See the judgment here. Your damnation will consist of being cast into the lake which burneth with fire. For the one who dies rejecting God's salvation through the glorious person and work of God's dear Son is one who deserves to die eternally forever in hell, as we all do. That is what God's word declares. Let me read to you the words of Romans chapter 2, the word of verse 5. "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds," verse 8, "but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath." The great day of the Lamb of God, of the wrath of the Lamb, has come. And you, as an unbeliever, will feel the weight of that wrath and be damned for all eternity. All men and women understand that there's a heaven to give tonight. There's a hell to shine. "He that believeth not shall be damned." How awful those very words even sound. But dear soul, this will be the end of the unbeliever. For Christ cannot
and will not go back on His word. And Revelation 21 and verse 8 reminds us, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Oh, that unbeliever, you would consider your latter end. And that without further delay, that you would grasp your only hope tonight. And that you would receive by faith the Lord Jesus Christ, who has preached unto you. And who in you will be the hope of glory. Oh, that you would come by faith this evening. Wonder when. That's going to be your response. He that believeth is baptized. That's not a condition of salvation, by the way. It's merely obeying what the Lord has left to His people. An outward sign of an inward work done. No conditions to salvation. It's through faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ. The promise is that he that believeth shall be saved. Is that going to be your response tonight? For the only other one that you can give tonight is, and he that believeth not shall be damned. May God help you to come for His own name's sake. Amen.